is the Cincinnati edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. The PBS anthology series American Experience returns tonight with McCarthy, which revisits the rise and fall of the Wisconsin Senator Joseph McCarthy. His name is now synonymous with political witch hunts based on his pursuit of identifying perceived communist within the U.S. government and society. McCarthy launched a chilling, high-profile campaign against those he accused of being enemies of the state. And earlier today, I spoke with the director of the episode called McCarthy. Sharon Grimberg is the writer and director of McCarthy and joins us on the phone. Sharon, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. The name McCarthy was turned into a noun, McCarthyism, to denote perceived witch hunts. But while McCarthy was a Republican, it's used by people of a variety of political ideologies now. And I'm wondering if you think that's fair or if that term is misused or, used unfairly as you worked on this project.
I think, obviously people are using it in all sorts of contexts now. And I do think it's used unfairly and probably has nothing much to do with the original use of the term. To me, it's sort of unsubstantiated attacks on people, and it connotes also a certain kind of prosecution being used in a broad sense of people who don't have the ability to defend themselves properly. I don't really know what the attacks against them are and where they're coming from.
So as you were working on this installment of American Experience, which is, of course, called McCarthy, did you find that your understanding or that people's understanding in general about that era, about that senator, are probably not complete?
I mean, I think the thing that I realize is that people conflate McCarthy with HUAC, with the House Un-American Activities Committee, which McCarthy had nothing to do with. He was a senator, and so had nothing to do with the House. And I think people's memories of that era have a lot to do with Hollywood hearings, which also McCarthy had nothing to do with. I think the thing that's interesting is McCarthy didn't really launch any of this. It preceded him. He didn't launch the anti-communist search for anti-communists in the government. That preceded him. He just was very successful at doing it and at least in attracting publicity. And he copied tactics that other people had used before him. But he was the most reckless, I think, of the communist hunters.
You mentioned publicity and McCarthy, and that's something that I found really surprising when I watched this in a screener. And it's just how adept he was at gaining media coverage. The film notes how on his first day as a U.S. senator in Washington, this Wisconsin Republican called a press conference, even though he didn't really have anything to announce. He basically just wanted the journalists to look at him. Can you talk about the way McCarthy sought publicity?
Well, McCarthy was very savvy. He had some very close friends in the media and the press, and he courted them. And then he would announce things right in time for the press, for the wire reporters' cycles. So he would announce something, and they wouldn't have very much time to fact-check it, and so they would just run with it. And then the person who was being accused didn't have much time to respond. He would come up with outrageous facts that were completely not true, and the press would be trying to fact-check those. And then, of course, by the time they fact-checked them, he was onto some other outrageous claim. So his claims were so eye-catching. I mean, they were so outrageous that they sold papers. So he was very adept at getting attention.
And how much of a motivation in his efforts to hunt for communists in the government was his pursuit of publicity?
Oh, I think that he sought power. And so I think that, yes, when he discovered that the anti-communist issue was really going to make his name, he really ran with it. And that became his complete obsession. So I think he wanted to be in the headlines and on television. I think he really loved that. And in fact, when he first made his claims, he called back to his secretary, his office, and said, "You know, is this getting much traction?" And his office said, "Yes, it's getting amazing traction. You know, you, yes, you're getting all sorts of publicity. I think he really motivated him.
My first question to you today was about the way the term McCarthyism is used. And there's a profile in the Daily Beast today about your new film on American experience, McCarthy. And it suggests that it draws, quote, eerie parallels between the senator's anti-communist witch hunt and our 45th president, Donald J. Trump. Did you find similarities in today's political landscape while working on this film?
I mean, I think there definitely are similarities. I think that McCarthy played on people's fears. I mean, many of them were legitimate fears, fears of Soviet expansion and fears of spies in the government. There had been some very, very famous cases of spies in American government. And so I think that McCarthy played on people's fears, but he played on them in a way that wasn't justified. He made people more worried than they needed to be. And I think you see the similar kinds of fear-mongering today for different reasons, and the situation globally is different. And I think there is the similar kind of outrageous claims and also attacks on the media. McCarthy attacked journalists he didn't like. He called one reporter in front of his committee when this reporter kind of criticized him. He had a physical fight with another reporter. So I think there was that kind of animosity towards the media when the media was critical of him. So I do see parallels between the 1950s and today.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We're talking with Sharon Grimberg. She's the writer and director of McCarthy, which is the newest installment of American Experience, which premieres tonight on PBS. Sharon, let's talk about McCarthy the man and his upbringing, where he came from. He's from rural Wisconsin, grew up on a farm. Talk about those early days and how they may have shaped this era that we've all come to know him from.
So McCarthy, you have to give him a lot of credit. He came from a very humble background. Initially dropped out of school, actually, and then went back and finished high school in a year, and was an incredibly hard worker, very ambitious from very early on. Became a judge very, very young. He put himself through law school and then became a judge. And then set his eyes on the Senate, and, you know, he campaigned relentlessly and really worked hard and unseated Bob La Follette, who was part of a political dynasty in Wisconsin, and really surprised the pundits that he was able to pull it off. But he recognized La Follette's weaknesses and the fact that he didn't come back to Wisconsin very much and was kind of a little overly confident. And so McCarthy really pulled himself up from very humble beginnings, become a senator very quickly. And I think that he appealed to people in a way as being this everyman, this regular guy who would take on the elite establishment, who kind of lost touch with ordinary Americans. I think that was one of his sort of key selling points.
Yeah, the film notes how hard of a campaigner he was. He was not averse to working very hard in that judge's race, his first campaign in Wisconsin. Your film notes how he knocked on the door of every farm in the district to pull off an upset win. And then, as you mentioned, Bob La Follette, who had served three terms, didn't just lose to McCarthy, but lost to McCarthy in a primary, despite coming from a well-known political family in that state. I thought that was very surprising. I'm wondering what surprised you the most about McCarthy and this period in America as you worked on this project.
I mean, I was very struck, actually, by how polarized the country was, divided, and that is eerily similar, I think, to today. And I was surprised, too, by how loyal people were to McCarthy through everything. And so although McCarthy is, in a sense, disgraced by the end of the film, and his fellow Republicans, many of them abandon him. He no longer has, the press is no longer interested in him. He no longer has much sway in the Senate. There's still a big chunk of Americans who support him and look up to him. I mean, if you look at the polling data from 1954, through the fall when he's going through the censure hearings, around 30% of Americans still support him. And when he returns to Wisconsin for his funeral in 57 and his body is returned, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people line up and to view his body and see him as a local hero coming home. I was kind of surprised by that.
Definitely. I thought that was really surprising, too. And you note the way that the Republicans in the Senate at the time with him started to turn on him. President Eisenhower started to turn on him when the time was right for them to do so. I thought that that was different than what is now. There's often criticism among the punditry class about whether there's enough checks on President Trump from his fellow Republicans when he's perceived to have done something that may be a bit over the line. And in the early 50s, when this McCarthy stuff was happening, you did ultimately see that from fellow Republicans. And then there was another difference between then and now. It's that the media was able to score significant points against McCarthy, particularly and famously Edward R. Murrow, the TV news anchor. Can you talk about the significance that those two situations played, the turning of the Republicans and the media against him in the reversal of McCarthy's public fortune?
Yeah, I think that some Republicans were uncomfortable with McCarthy all along because he was kind of a rogue character in a way, and they couldn't control him. And I think some Republicans were uncomfortable, but anxious to speak out because he was so popular and they didn't want to alienate any section of their own electorate. And then gradually in 1954, as he took on the army and started roughhousing and disrespecting in particular a general in the army, Eisenhower was outraged and behind the scenes tried to work towards McCarthy's downfall, and other Republican senators began speaking out and felt more comfortable speaking out. And Edward R. Murrow broadcast a famous episode of his show in March of 54, in which he really laid out the case against McCarthy and showed the ways in very specific detail, particularly against this man named Reed Harris, who had worked for The Voice of America, and showed how McCarthy had distorted the facts against Reed Harris and had lied. And I think this really did start to turn the public against McCarthy. It's not long after that there's a Recall McCarthy campaign launched in Wisconsin, led by a Republican editor. So I think that broadcast actually is quite significant and did have an impact on the public.
There is a direct link from the McCarthy era to the Trump era, and that is attorney Roy Cohn, who advised McCarthy during his famous hearings and also had a professional relationship with Trump. What do we learn about this man in this film?
Well, Roy Cohn, he was brought to McCarthy's attention because he had been he played a very significant role in the prosecution of the Rosenbergs, a couple who were subsequently found guilty of spying. And Roy Cohn played a significant role in that prosecution. And so he was an avid anti-communist, but also very unscrupulous and reckless and really after power himself, but organized and had access to names and information that McCarthy really relied on. McCarthy was kind of a disorganized person, and Roy Cohn was the person who came up with the ideas of who to bring before McCarthy's committee, and he would, get the subpoenas out. And he was also very involved in the interrogations, both in executive session behind closed doors and in the public. So Roy Cohn played a very significant role in McCarthy's committee, and then also, as you learn the film, is the reason, at least one of the main reasons why McCarthy is ultimately disgraced.
There's great historic footage that you use in the film that shows a Cohn reaction when it appears that even he realizes that in a moment McCarthy had gone too far after Cohn had struck a deal with a member of the committee. I thought that that was just absolutely fascinating, and it's one of the many highlights that can be seen in PBS's American Experience episode McCarthy, which was written and directed by Sharon Grimberg, who has been our guest. Sharon, congratulations on the film, and thanks so much for taking some time to talk to us today.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Elise Meckler. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstrow. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.